Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco Forth, John Chuckery, halfway home on this Saturday morning. 2 hours in the books, two more to go. We keep you company up until 12 noon. Glad to have you hanging out with us. This portion of college football game time brought to you in part by Dos Equis. Keep it classy until kickoff. Continuing to effort Marilyn Payne as we visit with her to talk a little ACC football. John, just to kind of hit the high points around the ACC this week, obviously the tragedy that happened in Charlottesville and the Virginia football program, the UVA game this week has been canceled, and I thought it was a great move by the ACC with the helmet decals to honor those guys and what happened at Virginia this week.
Yeah, obviously just a national tragedy, but you know, it obviously does tie into football because there's three football players that were killed, and the shooter, of course, was a football player, former football player there as well. Just an awful story all the way around. Obviously, it was the right move. They needed to heal, and you know, good for the ACC. You know, they're going to honor and recognize everybody. So yeah, just a tough situation there. Chris, I want to ask you a quick question here as we kind of look at the slate. You realize today that if Duke wins, they clinch second in the Coastal this year.
Yeah.
How crazy that? Is that? They were picked at Media Days to be last, even behind Georgia Tech. They were picked to be last in the Coastal. They win today at Pitt, and they're going to listen. They've got a chance to be an 8 or 9 win team themselves this year. How crazy is that to think about what Duke has done in football this year?
Hey, we've talked about the disappointing teams this year, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Kentucky. Look, Duke is on the opposite end of that spectrum. That's one of the great surprises. It's been a tremendous story. You know, I think it was a buy or sell question that you had a couple of weeks ago. And to me, Mike Elko, he's the ACC coach of the year for the job that he's done there.
How about a lot of the teams in the ACC this year? As they're not going to get a playoff, but don't you think that Carolina has overachieved this year?
Yep.
Duke has overachieved this year. I think Syracuse in some ways has overachieved this year. You know, there's been some good stories in the ACC as far as some of these teams and what they've done this year. You know, I mean, you know, again, we're not talking about a playoff team, and I don't think that Clemson or North Carolina is going to have any shot to get in the playoff, but Syracuse has been a bit of a surprise. Carolina, I think, is surprised. Duke is surprised. Florida State has surprised.
I was going to say, we just talked about Florida State.
I mean, there's been some, you know, for the ACC, maybe not getting a playoff for the first time in a while, there's been some good stories and some good coaching performances within the ACC this year.
They've got 9 teams right now today that are bowl eligible. The only other one, they have a chance to get 10 teams bowl eligible. Miami sits there. We talk about disappointments, right? Miami sits there with a 5-5 mark. They've got at Clemson this week, and then they close it out next week at home against Pitt. Miami can they eke out one more win here over the final 2 weeks and get to 6 and get to a bowl?
Well, no Tyler Van Dyke today. I saw the announcement. He's already been ruled out for today. Ja'Kari Brown, who filled in last week, he threw 3 touchdowns in that game. But let's preface that. It was Georgia Tech that he did that against. And with all due respect, Tech is, you know, remember when Brent Key was like, you know, people were all excited about the idea of hiring Brent Key? Yeah, no thanks. But Can they win? Well, they ain't winning today. I'm going to assure you that. They ain't winning today. Look, Clemson's still trying to play. Clemson, North Carolina trying to play. The winner's going to get the Orange Bowl, right? I mean, that's what the prize is. So you're still playing for something, you know, going into this. I don't know. I mean, Miami, when they play any – you know, Miami hasn't won two games in a row since week one and week two when they beat Bethune-Cookman and Southern Mississippi. So, again, they haven't exactly had a stellar year, and they certainly are not going to win their second game in a row today. But, yeah, maybe they can go up to Pitt, or I should say maybe they can beat Pitt. You know, maybe they can, you know, maybe they can find a way to beat Pitt at home, but I don't know. They're a hot mess as well this year.
So let's get to Georgia Tech and North Carolina for just a minute here. This North Carolina team, we've already talked about kind of what they got a chance to play for here today, but it's still a defense that is last in the ACC, allowing 282 yards per game. They don't get to the quarterback. They don't have – I think they're the third worst team in the country when it comes to tackles for loss. They're not getting any sort of penetration up front. Georgia Tech's got their own set of issues offensively now, especially at the quarterback situation where, I mean, that's way too much drama that you want to deal with at this point in time in the season if you're the Georgia Tech coaching staffs with just the way things have unfolded here. Even with all of that said, you talk about how bad North Carolina is defensively. It's hard to picture Georgia Tech having success today offensively in this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff Sims will be in the portal very soon. That will happen very quickly here. Because, look, I don't think Sims is an awful quarterback. I think there are some things that he does well, and I think that he's a capable player. He'll find a spot. He'll go in the portal, and he'll find a spot. He'll leave the program. Tech is not terrible against the pass. They're 58th in the country. They give up 220 yards per game, but I'm not sure how many teams have really tried to huck it around against them. Let me put it like this. They ain't seen anything as far as a passing attack goes like what they're going to see today.
Even just offensively, I don't think Tech has seen anything like what they're going to see today just from offensive firepower since the Ole Miss game earlier in the year.
Let me ask you this question, too. Let's go ahead and look ahead a little bit. How many Tech fans are headed to Athens next week?
Not many.
Yeah.
Not many.
I it's not a very fun way to play Carolina, one of the best offenses and best quarterbacks in the country, and then, oh, yeah, the number one team in America, the following week out there. This is what we talked about. This schedule has not been very kind to Georgia Tech this year, not that they were a great team to begin with, but – you know, when you have to start with Clemson at the beginning of the year and you get to finish up with the number one team in America, you started with number four and you finish with number one, that's not exactly how you want to set your schedule up for all of it. Look, I don't know what Tech is at this point. I really don't. I don't know what they are. It's just, it's roundabout quarterback. It's hang in there for dear life, you know, and hope. they've gotten blown out by Florida State, blown out by Miami. Right. I mean, you know, they got blown out by, you know, Central Florida, got blown out by Ole Miss, blown out by Clemson. You know, they get blown out in these big games that they play. I expect they're going to get blown out again today. I think they get blown out today. And, you know, Georgia will just pick their score next week. What's that game been the last 2 years? 100-0 has been that game the last 2 years for Clemson. Am I right on that? Or against Georgia? Has that game been like 100-0 the last 2 years? Let me look that up.
I don't remember the score, but I think when you talk about that game today.
All right, so last year was 45-0, and then in 2020, the pandemic year, they did not play. And then what was 2019? That was 52-7. So the last two times they've played Georgia has been, 45-52. What's that, 97?
97-7.
97-7 the last two times they've played Georgia.
You get North Carolina
today. Is
that
close?
That's not close,
okay.
John.
All right.
It's not close at all.
Okay. Is that competitive? Or?
Mm-mm. Not really. Okay. They get North Carolina today. You feel like North Carolina is going to get off the bus with 30 points and 300 yards. That's just how it goes.
Is this sort of, you know, in some ways, is this Drake May continuing to try to build his Heisman candidacy?
Well, yeah, I was
not,
getting
not
ready
winning,
to say.
But
I was getting ready to say, John, when you talk about hot quarterbacks in the country right now, C.J. Stroud,
yep,
Hendon Hooker, Drake May. I mean, that those three guys right there at quarterback, to me, and I don't watch a ton of I don't watch as much USC football as probably you do. So I'm not going to comment there. But for my money, for the games that I watch, I don't think there's any three guys right now in the country playing better at the quarterback position than Stroud, Hooker, and Drake
May.
Yeah,
I think Caleb Williams deserves to be in that. Caleb Williams has been outstanding this year for them. I mean, again, they only have three turnovers in the entire year, and he's got 31 touchdowns to two picks on the season. That's an absurd number. I mean, that's a ridiculous. I really do believe Caleb Williams, and we'll talk to Corey McCartney. I really do believe that Caleb Williams has got to get an invite to New York. I think you have to look at Stroud, Corum, Caleb Williams, and then I don't know if anybody else is going to make it, but to me, that's got to be three of the guys that get their shot to go up there. And Hooker probably as well. I mean, I think you have four guys. I think you have Stroud, Hooker, Caleb Williams, and Blake Corum. Those four guys deserve to go to New York.
Drake May against Wake Forest, 448 yards, three touchdowns. Kid hasn't thrown an interception in 4 weeks.
Yeah, he's been.
So he's building that Heisman. It may not happen for him this year, but, and I think you touched on this probably 2-3 weeks ago here about, hey, going into next year, he's got to be on that short list of the top two or three favorites to win the Heisman next year. But he's been unbelievable at North Carolina. Again, I didn't see this coming from him, and I think a lot of people felt like after the season they had last year and the guys they lost to the NFL and you lose your quarterback and maybe that offense isn't going to be quite what it was. John, they're better this year than what they were last year offensively.
He's going to break most of the school records this year for a season, for all those big numbers that Sam Howell put up a few years ago. He's going to break a lot of those records. He's going to break the yards and the touchdowns and everything like that. Look, we talked about, Mack Brown getting them to the ACC title game. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got to – he certainly – for me, I would vote for Mack Brown as coach of the year in the ACC this year. I think getting them to the conference title game, and I understand that side of the division is not exactly – but to find a quarterback and to be as good as they are, even with their deficiencies and things like that, I think he's the coach of the year in the ACC. I think he's done a great job with that club. And listen, I mean, he's been – The surprise of the year, I mean, has been Drake May. I don't know if anybody's kind of come out of nowhere more than what Drake May has come out and done what he's done this year.
John mentioned Corey McCartney. We'll talk Heisman Trophy with Corey coming up before the end of the hour. Our friend Brandon Adams from Dog Nation, he joins us after this. We'll talk a little Georgia and Kentucky coming up later on today. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation next. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Off we go this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We welcome in Brandon Adams from Dog Nation, DogNation.com. You can check out his podcast wherever you find your podcast. It's Dog Nation Daily, and it's available on all the podcast platforms. Brandon, I want to start with this. We got a lot of things to get to surrounding Georgia football. I want to start with this game today against Kentucky, where it's going to be cold. Talking about an afternoon high today of about 38 in Louisville. It's going to be down low 30s, upper 20s maybe by the time this game ends today. What's the impact you think those chilly temps have on this game today for both Georgia and Kentucky, for that matter?
Well, the good news is if you're a Georgia fan here, they have some experience in that this season, and that they played last week at Starkville. And I was there, and it was really cold there too. And it's going to be colder today than it was last week, but it was certainly plenty cold down in the 30s throughout most of the game last week. And I was really curious to watch the Georgia body language, because throughout the years, you know, you see this, you know, certainly, especially in the NFL, where you have, you know, games being played farther north and later in the year, where winter really is a much bigger factor. Sometimes you can recognize body language and see, oh, this is a player that doesn't like being out in this. And I was actually kind of watching that from Georgia last week. How do they get off the bus? Do you see a lot of extra layers? Do you see guys who are kind of shivering? Are guys moving a little slower going through workouts, but you know, warm-ups, you know, prior to the game, because it's a different type of thing? And visually, I didn't really see any of that last week, which I find kind of fascinating, because it's the one thing in football that I don't know that you can do anything to prepare for. You know, if it's raining, you can dip the football in water and throw a wet football around it. Certainly you can prepare for the heat, because in Georgia, we got no shortage of that, especially in the summertime. But
we lose Brandon?
Yeah. Brandon there?
We lost Brandon.
He was cutting out. The cold's already got his phone.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's affecting cell service.
Yeah, apparently. His phone is in the cold. You don't expect this game to be very competitive today, do you, Chris?
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we talked about it when we went around the SEC earlier. I think, you know, what Kentucky does well is run the football, and what Georgia does maybe better than anything offensively or defensively is stop the run. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to put this game back on Will Levis, and he hasn't shown me anything that says he's capable of being able to pull off a win like this one today.
Yeah, I mean, think about where Georgia's at right now. With all due respect, Kentucky's got no chance to beat them. Tech certainly doesn't have a chance to beat them. I mean, you've got 2 weeks here that you're kind of just, I don't know, treading water before you get to the SEC title game, because even if Georgia doesn't play well today or next week, neither of these teams are good enough to beat Georgia. I mean, with all due respect to Kentucky, I watched every minute of that Tennessee game because I was doing a chat on it. And once they got down at all and you know, they had a little bit of success in the run against Tennessee – but Levis threw 3 picks. They just get one-dimensional. They're just, you know, they're a good story, but they're not a great team. And are we talking to Mike? I'm curious. I'm going to ask Mike, because look at – and I understand competition. Look at Will Levis's numbers the first 4 weeks of the year when there was no Chris Rodriguez. And I understand a couple of those games are, you know, against Hammond Eggers and stuff like that. But I think Levis played better in the early part of the season when there was no Chris Rodriguez and there was some more focus on him to run the offense. He's just not had a very impressive season for a guy who's being looked at. I mean, Chris, there are still places that are saying he may be the number one overall pick in the draft. I mean, there's CBS and other people saying that he's still the top prospect coming out of the NFL draft. I don't know, man. I looking at him at SEC Media Days, Chris, we said – He's Bo Callahan, but boy, he's not played like it this year.
No, I agree with you, John. It is one of those. He has never looked that way to me. Now, I know the NFL, it's all about the measurables, and I guess he checks all those boxes in terms of, you know, whatever. And I would assume he'll go to the combine and his cone drill and shuttle time and all of that. Maybe he scores really well at all those.
But in a controlled environment, he'll throw it all around. I mean,
when
in a controlled dome, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When I turn the tape on, even going back and watching him last year
And here, reading the hype about him over the summer, and then watching him again this year, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like a. He doesn't look like a number one draft pick to me. Doesn't look like a first round quarterback. Period.
We've got Brandon Adams back. Brandon, one thing I wanted to ask you. I brought this stat up earlier in the show. Kentucky's a -4 in turnover margin. Georgia's a -2 this year in turnover margin. Which one of these two statements is more true? Georgia commits too many turnovers, or Georgia doesn't create enough turnovers?
Well, I would say it's probably more true that Georgia, you know, unfortunately has committed too many turnovers, because I think defensively a lot of that kind of stuff, and listen, you can decide how much of the analytics, you know, you care about or not, but the analytics people will tell you that, you know, when it comes to those turnovers in that situation, that's one of those things you don't always have a ton of control over, right? I mean, you can play the way it's supposed to be and maybe get the turnover, maybe you don't, maybe you force the fumble and the other guy still falls on it. But when it comes to the football, when you've got it in your hands, I definitely think that Georgia could do more to protect the football. We've seen a lot of running back fumbles as of late. Obviously, Stetson had a couple more picks last week. One of those probably wasn't his fault on the one when he was hitting, which he threw. But this has definitely become an issue for Georgia. They have just turned it over way too much. And it's actually amazing. It hasn't cost them more than it has. But pretty clearly, they have not been careful enough with football. And if that continues to happen, eventually it's going to put them into a bind.
Brandon Adams from Dog Nation, dognation.com. He's hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, College Football Game Time. We talk a little Georgia football. So the Joe Moore Award finalist released this week. That's the award given to the best offensive line in college football. Georgia on that list. Brandon, how do you feel like this Georgia offensive line stacks up to some of the really good offensive lines we've seen from Georgia the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it kind of remains to be seen. I didn't think they had a great week last week against Mississippi State. Now, ultimately, the game ended up being a comfortable win for Georgia, but, you know, it had the opportunity to maybe be closer than that. You know, Georgia had a hard time punching it in on some running plays inside the red zone. I thought maybe the interior of the offensive line didn't have a great day at all. And frankly, sometimes Mississippi State can make you look bad up front offensively because, you know, this is a little bit different kind of Mike Leach team than some of his Washington State or Texas Tech teams would have been. They're a little tougher, and I think at times, you know, they were tough on Georgia in 2020, as a for instance on that. But I didn't think that the offensive line had a great day last week against Mississippi State. Here's what I will say, that if Georgia ultimately ends up being a Joe Moore Award level offensive line, whether it wins the award or not, but if it really is in contention to truly be the best offensive line in the country, then that probably could be a key indicator that Georgia's also on its way to maybe winning the national championship. I thought if you go back and look at the Alabama game last year in the national championship game, how was it that Georgia retook the lead? How was it that Georgia asserted itself in the fourth quarter? They made the switch. They moved Jamari Salyer to the guard position. You brought Broderick Jones in at left tackle. An offensive line literally and figuratively led the way for Georgia towards that national title. And if you think about Georgia trying to repeat here this year, I think it's once again the same kind of thing. But if this group can really come together, if this group can play like the nation's best, then it has a chance to obviously get Georgia where it needs to go. But if you see rushing game stalling out, if you see, you know, it really kind of comes down to the rushing game more than anything else. If they're not opening up those big holes, if Georgia's not able to add the running game to what it is doing through the air, then maybe at that point Georgia falls short of its ultimate end-of-season goal.
Brandon, you know, through the middle of the season, Ladd McConkey, you know, was taking some criticism about some of his play and some of his mistakes and things like that. How important has it been for these last 2 to 3 weeks, even starting with the Florida game, but especially Tennessee with the big 37-yard touchdown, last week the 70-yard touchdown run, another touchdown catch? How important has it been for him to kind of get himself back on track these last couple of weeks as we head toward playoff time?
Well, I think it's very important. On the one hand, Georgia needs all the receiver help that it can get because, you know, we still don't know when A.D. Mitchell's really coming back yet. So while he's gone, you've got to have as many receivers step up as possible. And obviously McConkey was huge in that regard last week, especially on the rushing touchdown to begin the second half that kind of retook the momentum for Georgia there in that game. But here's the other thing I'll say, too, is you never got the impression that Kirby was wavering at all in his support of Ladd. When Ladd was going through a pretty rough stretch, you touched on this moment ago, like he was dropping easy punts. Yeah, he had a couple of, you know, touchdowns. I mean, I'm talking about easy sort of walk-in touchdowns. He dropped those as well. And, you know, there were a lot of fans that weren't quite so sure how they felt about McConkey at that time. And yet Georgia never seemed to, like, lessen its support for him whatsoever. And so I think this is kind of the magic of being a coach sometimes, is knowing when to give a guy a little longer rope, give a guy a little bit of, you know, much needed patience. And Georgia, I think, did that with McConkey. He really stood by him at a time in which it almost seemed like he had the yips. I mean, that's basically the only description I can have for it. Mentally, there seemed to be a little bit of an issue there because he was just dropping so much. And yet, you know, sticking with him has really paid off, because last week he was probably Georgia's most effective offensive player.
John kind of stole my thunder there, Brandon. That's where I was kind of going to go next. Look, Ladd is probably my favorite player in college football. I was fortunate enough to be able to broadcast some of his games when he was in high school at North Murray. Okay. I know Preston Pogue is head coach there in high school. It's such a fantastic story of what he has been able to accomplish. I mean, he is truly the underdog in regards to how he was viewed coming out of high school. And it obviously, Kirby Smart saw something in this kid that nobody else saw.
That's two really interesting stories, you know, going on at Georgia at the same time. On the one hand, you have all these five-star players, and Georgia seems to be the most talented team in the country. And yet, you know, time and time again, you see examples of, you know, guys like McConkey who were not heralded recruits, you know, obviously Stetson and a quarterback much the same way, where you have some of these guys who are really kind of making good on college dreams, and it sort of feels like the kind of thing you'd see taking place at a place other than UGA, and yet, you know, McConkey's playing at a very high level. Like, the one thing that he does beyond just the fact that he's kind of overcome a little bit of a lower profile as a recruit, I mean, the lateral quickness that he shows, the ability to make people miss, you know, that was on display in the Oregon game. It was on display again last week, is that McConkey really is a much better athlete than I think he's given credit for. And Georgia needs all the explosiveness it can get from the receiver position. Obviously, he's able to provide that.
He was a hell of a basketball player when he was in high school. Real quickly here, Brandon, where is Georgia better at today, as we said here, heading into Thanksgiving? Where have we seen improvement in this team from, say, the end of August or Labor Day weekend when the season started?
It's a great question. I mean, like, one of the things, if you want to say since the season started, the reemergence of Jalen Carter in the lineup has obviously changed the scenario for the Georgia defensive front. Carter's playing, again, like one of the best players in the country, and obviously they were without him for a few weeks. So that's one of the big boosts that I think that you've gotten if you're Georgia. But beyond that, some of these guys that were, you know, they had some experience, but not in the roles that they're in now, you see them coming to their own. You know, like Malachi Starks is a true freshman safety. He's becoming a very, very important player for Georgia. Jamon Dumas Johnson is an inside linebacker. I don't think he's quite yet what, obviously, Nakobe Dean was last year, what Roquan Smith was in 2017. But as a second-year player, which is what Jamon Dumas Johnson is, he may be a little bit ahead of where both Dean and Roquan were at that stage of their career. So you're seeing some of those guys at the beginning of the year that were rightly tabbed as, hey, this is an inexperienced player, let's see how they perform. And some of those guys aren't quite so inexperienced anymore. It's one of the reasons why this Georgia defense is second in the country in terms of points allowed for the season.
That's Brandon Adams from Dog Nation. Brandon, appreciate the time.
Thanks, BA.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, sorry for the signal issues. We've now crossed over the Kentucky state line. We are now in the Commonwealth here. So I apologize for the signal issues.
Brandon, we said the cold got your phone. I mean, the cold zapped your phone.
All right. That's about right. That's about what it is right there.
Brandon Adams from Dog Nation and DogNation.com. The second annual cruise with Dog Nation's coming up April 24th through the 28th. You can join the Dog Nation team, fellow Georgia fans. Get a few days of fun in the sun. They sell it out every year. If you want to get more details on it, head over to DogNation.com. We're going to talk a little Heisman Trophy next. Our buddy Corey McCartney from right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, he joins us next. We'll find out who this week's front runner is for the Heisman Trophy. We'll get to it next. It's College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It's college football game time. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery. We keep you company up until 12 noon today. A little more SEC football with our friend Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. He joins us at 11:20. But right now we're going to talk Heisman Trophy with Corey McCartney. Corey joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Corey, where is John and I just talked about Drake May and kind of the season that he's had at North Carolina a little while ago. Where is he in the Heisman Trophy voting right now?
That's a really good question. I mean, I certainly think you have to have him in the top three, if not the top four. He's obviously doing some really special things there this season. And, you know, has this team, I mean, putting up some monster offensive numbers, you know, 3,400 yards, third in the nation, 34 touchdowns, tied with Stroud for the most. I just wonder, though, as much focus as we put on the playoff and getting your team to that Final Four in this era, we've only had Lamar Jackson's the only winner in this era who has not come out of the playoff team. So can he do enough down the stretch here to make up for what may be a destination that won't be one of the Final Four teams playing for national championship?
Corey, my belief is right now you have to have four guys at the Heisman ceremony. It needs to be Stroud, Corum, Hooker, and Caleb Williams. I think those four guys have to be there. I don't know if any more have to be there, but I feel like that those four guys are really, you know, have really been the benchmarks for college football this season. And I think all four of those guys should be there at the ceremony.
Give me those names one more time. Stroud, Hooker.
Stroud, Hooker, Corum, and Caleb Williams.
I would absolutely agree with that. And I think, to me, Caleb Williams is the one that has the biggest opportunity ahead of him, right? It starts today. If they win today and get to the Pac-12 championship, you're talking about the potential of three straight top 25 teams to end the season. Nobody else that we're talking about, any of the contenders, has anything close to that. So it seems like he's kind of been lurking there, right, just like USC in the playoff conversation. I think Caleb Williams is going to make a move, and I think it starts today. But I think you're right. I think those are the four guys that are going to wind up in New York.
Corey McCartney from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game joining us. We talk Heisman. Corey with a Heisman vote and spends a little time with us every week. What can Hendon Hooker do, or can he do enough these final 2 weeks to be able to catch C.J. Stroud?
I mean, it's just an unfortunate situation for him, right? It's all about what he's done to this point and anything else now just has to be about the numbers. I mean, when you think about the overall resume, right, and you look at strength of schedule, Tennessee had the third toughest schedule in the country, Ohio State 60th, USC 66, Michigan 85th when we're talking about those four guys that mentioned as potentially all getting to New York. Tennessee had the toughest road, but now they have the least to play for late in the season. Hooker has just got to be about monster numbers. The crazy thing is that even if you look at his numbers and you look at C.J. Stroud's, we're talking about numbers that are below what we've come to expect for winners in this this era. I mean, you know, right now they're the way they're trending. I mean, Hooker would have the fewest touchdowns, fewest total touchdowns for a winner since Eric Crouch in 2001. That, and obviously a lot of that's been, you know, being pulled out of games late that are absolute blowouts and stuff. But just the production hasn't been what we've come to expect. But I think from Hooker, these last few games, I just want to see some really big numbers that just leave no doubt that he's absolutely deserving of, if not the trophy, absolutely a spot in New York.
Corey, Corum is fourth in the country in rushing yards, tied for second in rushing touchdowns. Let's say he outplays Stroud next week, and I know different positions, but let's say Corum goes for 200 yards and three touchdowns next week, but Michigan loses. Can Corum overtake Stroud for the Heisman?
Oh, man. I'm going to say no, just because I think we go back to the fact that, you know, it's about getting your team to that playoff, because Stroud's going to have another chance, right? Stroud's going to have that game between that Michigan game and the voting to play for Big Ten championship in that scenario. So I think that gets Corum a seat in New York, but I don't think it gets him the win. This, I mean, this game, we have the potential for the game, and I grew up in, you know, in Ohio. I know how big this game is. The stakes will have never been higher that they could be the next week. They've been 1-2 before. They've never been undefeated. Both of them meeting at this point in the season with Heisman Trophy contenders and a spot in the playoff on the line. I mean, this next weekend could be an absolute monster on a number of levels.
Well, let me ask you, though, Corey. There's a definite chance that the winner of next week, let's say if Ohio State does, let's take my scenario, and Ohio State plays in the Big Ten championship game. A very definite possibility they're going to play Purdue. How much stock is any voter going to put into Ohio State and Purdue into Stroud's performance? I mean, with all due respect, you know, again, we're talking about Purdue being in the Big Ten title game potentially. How much is that really going to carry any weight? I mean, doesn't it all kind of come down to next Saturday when those two teams go head to head?
Yes, but I will tell you, so, I mean, trying to go back to the year where you had Robert Griffin III wins, right? Andrew Luck finishes second, and Luck doesn't play in the last game of the season. And they went back. I had this conversation with Luck after the ceremony because everybody sees the winner. You know, they see them do the ceremony, you know, the ceremony, hold the trophy up. The guys who don't win go back, you know, in this kind of back area. And I went back there and was talking to Andrew Luck about this, showing him the votes and the way that it trended, where he was actually in the lead going into the last weekend of the season. Then Robert Griffin III goes out and has a big game, and he overpasses him. Not playing in that last weekend has been so crucial in the voting over the years. I think it matters, and I think it's going to matter even more so if that means getting a spot in the playoff on the line.
Corey McCartney talking Heisman Trophy with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Corey, we're coming up on, I guess it's this coming week. I don't remember the exact day. I'm pretty sure that it happened on a Black Friday, though, the day after Thanksgiving, when Doug Flutie had his Hail Mary pass for Boston College, and people refer to that as Flutie's Heisman moment. Is there such a thing as a Heisman moment? Is that a real thing, or is that just something that the media has kind of, you know, dreamed up over the years?
Well, I will tell you that Flutie's Hail Mary against Miami actually came after the votes were in. So it really wasn't a Heisman moment. It was called a Heisman moment, but it actually happened after the voting deadline. But, yeah, I think it's absolutely real. You think about, you know, Tebow's jump pass and Desmond Howard striking the pose. And I think there's so many of those moments that you kind of latch onto. But this season, you look at it, who's really even had one, right? To me, the only thing that's close is Hendon Hooker against Alabama. We just haven't, to this point, have not had anybody put together that, have that one seminal moment where you think about, you know, that being the defining piece of their resume. But I do think they're real. I think there's something that we latch on to throughout a year. And, you know, Johnny Manziel and his spin move against Alabama, and, you know, Reggie Bush and against Fresno State, and just on and on and on. I think of moments, but we've not had a lot of them for sure this season.
Corey McCartney, Corey, appreciate it. We'll talk again next week. We
Thanks,
get
Corey.
Closer and closer to that. About time for you to send in that that vote.
It's coming fast, guys. Appreciate it.
Corey McCartney, he joins us every week to talk about the Heisman Trophy. In again,
I don't know, man. Corum, if he has a monster day, and they lose, I wonder how, because he's kind of the real, in some ways, dark horse. Like everybody's obviously talked about Hooker and Stroud and all that, but if Corum, and if they do beat Ohio State next week and Corum goes off, I think Corum's going to win the Heisman. I really do, Chris. I think that Corum goes for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns next week against Ohio State, and they beat Ohio State. I think he's a lock for the Heisman.
Wow. Well, we'll see how it plays
How's
out.
How's that for a hot take, Chris? Yeah, is that getting
I like
hot?
It. Huh? I like it.
You want to start calling me
I
Tommy?
Like it. No. Okay. That's good stuff. All right. We're going to take a look around the nation. We'll touch on some of the stuff that we may have missed. John, I feel like we've kind of hit the high points today on everything. Don't forget that Southern Cal UCLA game kickoff at 8. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But I feel like as far as the big games taking place across the country today, we've kind of hit on most of those.
Yeah, I agree. But there's always stuff to talk about. That's why we have 4 hours of the show.
That's exactly right. Georgia and Kentucky, some cold weather. That may be the story is the weather situation, especially with a lot of these games being played in the Southeast and in the Midwest, and obviously the Northeast with everything that's going on there.
Do you like that they're in Montana today for game day?
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I
agree. I know a lot of people don't like when they go to some of these, you know, Mickey Mouse programs and schools. I wish they'd do more of that kind of stuff.
Oh, I thought it was great when they went to Jackson State.
Yeah.
I think it's great when they
go to Appalachian State earlier this year.
Appalachian State, that's right. And now they're at in Montana. Look, I like that. But I've seen the Grizz play in person a couple of times. That is at the FCS level. You talk about a team and a fan base that is just different from the rest of FCS. It's kind of like what Appalachian State was when they were rolling at the FCS level and winning national championships. It's the same way with Montana, man. Those people, they don't care where their team plays. They're traveling. They're going. They turn out in droves to be able to watch their team play. And it's a they don't have any other college. There's not a, you know, there's not a Big Ten or a Pac-12 team up there that really kind of shares the spotlight. You get up into Montana when it comes to college football, it is all about that program. It's not like, you know, even when Appalachian State was doing great things at the FCS level, they still had to contend with the SEC and the ACC schools that got more publicity than they did. You go to Montana, it is not that way at all.
And they've done the North Dakota State, South Dakota State stuff,
yep,
which is obviously another big FCS rivalry and all that. So I like these kinds of quirky games. I mean, I versus ending up in Tuscaloosa every week or
Athens.
Because
isn't that what it's about? I mean, really, when we talk about college football, it's about that. It's about those kind of scenes and that kind of fandom. There are great environments for college football all over the country. It's not regulated to just the SEC and the Big Ten.
Well, that's why I say that, look, there are human beings on the college football playoff committee. And I don't think that they, in a perfect world, want to have a situation where, you know, where we've seen when you have Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, no school is more than about, you know, I mean, those schools are all within about 3 hours drive of one another, a couple hours drive of one another, right? I mean, it gets so condensed that everything happens in such a small footprint at the top that's why I think that they are looking at, you know, you want Ohio State, Michigan, Southern Cal, whatever. I mean, you don't, not necessarily saying that they want North Carolina or something like that, but I think the committee, you're talking about human beings. You want a more representative, you know, look, it's, I get it. The Southeastern Conference, it's the best program. It's the best conference in America. I get that. And Clemson has been one of the top programs in America. I get all of that. But I think that they want to see a more, you know, wide footprint, and that's why we're also headed to, besides money, that's the other thing about 12 teams in the playoffs is that, you know, it's not three schools that are 2.5 hours away from one another. It's getting more programs across the country involved. I mean, you look at the TV numbers, it gets so skewed about how many people outside of the Southeastern United States watch some of the playoff and national championship games. You lose a lot of that audience as you get further, you know, geographically away from the epicenter here.
How many times have we heard it said, John, you've got to find a way to keep the West Coast interested?
Yeah. I keep telling you guys, there's one program that can do that. Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg aren't going to be on the sidelines of Oregon or Washington or UCLA. Those guys and the celebrity are going to be on the sidelines of the University of Southern California fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis.
And this is the first time since we've entered the playoff era where Southern Cal is legitimately in position to be a factor in this.
Yes, absolutely.
Number 6, Southern Cal against number 16, UCLA. You can hear it right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game kickoff coming up 8 o'clock tonight. We'll touch on that game and a slew of others as we'll take a quick trip around the nation, get to some of the games that we may have missed today. I don't think we've missed too many, but we may touch on a few others as well. Mike Griffith coming up, 11:20. You stay with us. We head into our final hour of college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.